You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's talk some football. AFC and NFC Championship games and Super Bowl 55 coming up. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jason Cole joining us, NFL analyst, also author of Elway, A Relentless Life, which is cool that we have him on today because today is the anniversary of John Elway in Super Bowl 21 against the Giants. How are you, Jason?
I'm fantastic. What's going on, guys?
Thank you. All right, so tell somebody who did not watch it, the NFC Championship game, how much of your conversation will be on what the Packers did and did not do rather than what Tom Brady and the Buccaneers did do?
I think it's about 75-80% about how the Packers did not seem prepared for the first half of this game, were not prepared for critical situations. And put themselves in a hole that they couldn't overcome. I put a lot of this on the Packers. I mean, look, the Buccaneers played well. They did some effective things. They rushed the passer. They made things uncomfortable for Rodgers in the first half or whenever he tried to set up in the pocket and let a play develop. So they took some things away. Give them a lot of credit. Brady hit some plays. He obviously made some big mistakes, too, in the second half that the Packers should have been able to capitalize. But I'm just stunned by the combination of LaFleur not being ready for that pass rush and Mike Pettine not being ready for an end-of-half situation, right, which you can anticipate.
From the point of the field goal decision, it can go both ways in terms of how the thought process goes, but it should lean towards you've got an MVP, you're aggressive on fourth downs, go for it. What did you make of that decision?
I don't even know if it's about the MVP or you want to be aggressive. It goes to you have to extend the game first before you can win the game, right?
Right.
You're playing as if you're going to win the game somehow, which if you're down 9 points, I sort of understand. When you're down 8, you just got to get in the first time, right? Because there's also no guarantee that you're going to make the 2-point conversion.
Right.
So you got to do as many things as you can to get the touchdown first before you worry about, oh, well, we can win the game if we get the ball back. I mean, like you don't do that. You go for that on fourth down, and then you're trying to get the ball back again to try and extend the game.
And there's also a point where what surprised me afterwards was Aaron Rodgers had no idea that they would have been, that the thought process was to kick on that. Shouldn't they have at least been in some sort of connection on what exactly that drive was going to be?
Well, I mean, look, in the moment, I think in that moment in time, you're just focused on what is the next play, right? You're not sitting there, you know, going through, here's the strategic play. It's for somebody else to figure out what is the strategic play on. Are you trying to extend the game? Are you trying to win the game? That's what the coach is for, right? The player is just sitting here going, like, I got a first down play, I got a second down play, I got a third down play. You know, each time I'm trying to figure out the mess that's in front of me as I'm, you know, in that really tight red zone area. You're inside the 10. You're not even inside the 20. You're inside the 10. So the area gets even smaller and smaller. And so I don't think Rodgers is focused in on strategy. And if he was, he probably would have waved off the attempt to go for the field goal. But that's not, you know, like you could tell he just, you know, he didn't get it in the moment. Like he was just so focused on the moment. So I'm not sure I blame Rodgers or the lack of telling Rodgers about that. I blame that firmly on LaFleur.
There is a conversation that was had yesterday about the officiating in terms of the pass interference. At the end of this game, that gives the Buccaneers the win, but they allowed a lot to go throughout the game. Mm-hmm. How, in terms of the argument of letting him play versus not letting him play, I think the overriding problem is the players don't really know. No referee tells them, hey, we're letting everything go today. So in that scenario, is that argument even legit? Like to say, well, they let it get away this way, they didn't at the end of the game. How do we compartmentalize the officiating of this game if it's inconsistent?
Look, you can argue the consistency and inconsistency. The interception at the end of the first half where there's a tug, right? I mean,
right.
And you know, want to let them play physically, all that kind of stuff. I get it, right? But at the end of the day, that's pass interference.
Exactly.
and so you know what you know. Kevin King knows what he's doing, all right. And he can't sit there and say, "Well, you didn't call it earlier, therefore you shouldn't call it now." Sorry, that's clearly pass interference. You're grabbing the guy, you're impeding his progress, and you're doing it in a very wide open way, where the official's definitely going to get it. It's not like you did a little quick tug to you know affect him by a quarter or a half step, and then you let go. You grabbed on and you held on, right? And you went over the line on that one. And I'm sorry, all this discussion kind of just leaves me, you know, a little cold. Like, that's pass interference, and it called it. But I don't have a problem with the call.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the defense for the Buccaneers and flip it over on that side. A lot of conversation about Brady, great accomplishment. Defensively, this Buccaneers team really played a good game.
Yeah, they did. I mean, again, you talk about the pass rush off the edges. They really they hit the left and the right tackle alive. I mean, even I think Shaq Barrett's maybe his second sack. I mean, he was even being held on the second sack, and he still finished off Rodgers. Yeah, the thing that surprised me is that this is what they did to him last time. Even when they had Bakhtiari playing left tackle, they did this to them the last time. So, like, Matt LaFleur, did you watch the first game? Did you watch the tape of what happened? Did you not think, hey, maybe we'll chip a little bit, or we'll do what the answer was pretty quickly, which is get Rodgers outside the pocket, off the platform, or make quick throws, right, to beat these guys and to change how they're playing defense. But they're teeing off on your tackles just to get a field as much as possible, and they did. And they made it almost impossible for you to get a clean pocket on any kind of thing that resembled a five-step drop, and forget about seven-step drops, but anything that was a five-step drop where Rodgers was going to hold the ball for any length of time, or was, you know, in a gun formation, he's going to hold the ball for any length of time. That was nearly impossible for them. I mean, there was one play that he got the pass off and it was a completion, but he had about maybe a quarter second until Vita Vea was just going to destroy him.
Jason Cole joining us, NFL analyst on our Progressive Guest Line. So over in the AFC, and I don't like getting burned by predictions because I've seen teams play really well in the playoffs, and I think to myself, I'm going to see this team for years and years, and then I don't see them again because change happens and things go differently. But do you feel like the trajectory for the Bills is good, like they will be in these kind of games in the future?
Yeah, because I think they're very well coached. I do think that Josh Allen is continuing to make great progress. Now, there are moments that he still is highly inaccurate, and under pressure, he, you know, shrinks a little bit, right? But not, he made progress from a year ago, right? So as long as they're smart and they continue to surround him with talented receivers and get a better running back, improve the running game a little bit, I do think that this is a team to be reckoned with for the next 3 to 5 years. And then we'll see what kind of quarterback does Josh Allen become, because eventually he's going to slow down and not be able to run like he runs now.
Sure.
That happens with all quarterbacks, right? You know, whether it's him or Lamar Jackson or all these guys who run, they slow down. So is he going to transition to being more of a pocket quarterback who has more composure, who's taking the easy throws rather than trying to make the impossible or hard throws? He didn't do that yesterday. That hurt them a lot. They weren't be able to be consistent. He got a little bit desperate when they got behind by 12 points, or when they were behind by 15 points, right? You could feel the pressure mounting on him, and he responded poorly to it. But overall, I like the team. I like the direction. I like the sort of even-handedness of the combination McDermott and Bean. So I do like where they're going. I do like this team. But they ain't Kansas City.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, we were just discussing this earlier. You felt like you just mentioned about Allen. He was afraid to make the big mistake. He was afraid to make that big, you know, the big play that would really turn the game quickly. But the reality is Patrick Mahomes doesn't feel that way because any mistake, they just take 10 seconds and they can score again.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about this. If not for the Hardman fumble, this game's even more lopsided.
Absolutely.
Than we think, right? Like, this game really wasn't that close. And I'm not going to sit here and, like, say I'm the greatest prognosticator in the world, but I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday morning, early in the morning, and he was making the case for, oh, the Bills could maybe upset this, or I don't know who to pick because it's going to be really close. And I just said, look, Chiefs are going to win by 14. And I just said that off the top of my head. Now, I was absolutely right. And again, I'm not Nostradamus, and I'm not headed to Vegas. But they're just, the Chiefs are on a different level than the Bills. They're on a different level than everybody because of their talent. Like, they have the best quarterback in the game. And Grant, I'll grant you, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's not the greatest quarterback today,
right,
in my view, right?
Great point.
Okay? And so Pat Mahomes is the greatest quarterback today. They have the best wide receiver in the league today. They have the best tight end in the league today by far. And they have the best coach, not named Belichick. You know, they have the best coach who's left in the playoffs, and they had that from the beginning of it. So you take that combination, and then enough players on defense and Spagnuolo's cleverness on defense. I mean, that's a really tough combination. I mean, the Bucs have their hands full. I'm not saying the Bucs can't win this game, but I would say if they played five times, the Bucs would be, you know, I think they might win one out of those five.
Jason Cole, again, author of Elway, A Relentless Life. Check it out. Great book, and also NFL analyst. Appreciate it, Jason. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Be good. Thanks.
You got it. Again, Jason Cole on a Progressive guest line. Progressive quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean, look at Brady's nine previous Super Bowls, right? He's got six wins, but think about the three losses, right, to the Eagles and the twice to the Giants. I mean, those games against the Giants were really close. The game against the Eagles was close. He has not been blown out in a Super Bowl, and I think that's why when we watched him play Atlanta in Super Bowl 51, it was like, oh, he's getting destroyed. Look, it's 28-3. It's good. This is a beatdown of beatdowns for the great Tom Brady in New England. And then they put on this great historic comeback and win the Super Bowl. He has not been blown away in a Super Bowl. He's not been blown out in a Super Bowl. He never had what Elway went through in his first three Super Bowls, where he got demolished. I mean, absolutely demolished. He didn't go through that. And he's been in nine of them. But you would think that he would have one game, even as good as those Patriots teams were coached and prepared and everything that Belichick and that coaching staff would bring to a matchup, that a game would just get away from them, right? The odds are that one of them would just get away, but they won six, lost three other ones that were close. This could be the one where Tampa Bay just doesn't have anything for the Chiefs, because I like the way he said that. Look, Brady's the greatest of all time, but he's not the best quarterback today. That's Patrick Mahomes. Everything that you want to put in the who has the better category fits into Kansas City. It doesn't always mean that team wins the game, but it certainly comes close. All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.